This morning's Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern their day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning's New Testament lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where moths and vermins do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is a baseball. This baseball is the same in high school, little league, professional. The baseball is about 2 3/4 inches diameter, weighs about 5 or 6 ounces. And in the hand of a professional baseball pitcher, this ball can be thrown up to 100 miles an hour from pitcher to catcher, with a batter trying to hit it. At that speed, scientists tell us that the batter has less than 1 second to decide whether to swing. They basically say it's about how long it takes for you to blink. And in the course of that mini moment, the batter has to first decide whether this ball, this pitch, coming at him at 100 miles an hour, is going to be in the strike zone or out of the strike zone. And then, if it's in the strike zone, and if they so choose, the batter swings and tries to hit a 100 mile an hour fastball. Those who are able to do so on a consistent basis are described as having a good eye. A good eye. So it's important for hitters to have a good eye if they want to be successful in this endeavor. We want other people to have good eyes too. If you're going to have surgery, I think you would say, I want my surgeon to have a good eye. If you're going to take a trip on a bus, you surely would say, I want my bus driver to have a good eye. Jesus talked about how important it is to have a good eye. He says, as you heard just read, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. And what he means by that is that if your eye has light, his light in it, if you see things in the world through the lens of his light, what you see will make all the difference in the world and in your life. He contrasts that to darkness, this great biblical image consistent throughout his teaching of light versus darkness. So he contrasts it with having darkness in your eye. If indeed you do, you can't see well. But with God's light, with Jesus' light, you have a good eye and can see. Now we know the pain, the sadness, even the brokenness that comes when we see the world and other people and ourselves not with a good eye, but with a bad eye, with a dark eye. We know the sadness, pain, and brokenness that comes when we see other people with prejudice, when we judge other people, when we treat them less than equal, when we say things to them that hurt them. We know that when we see the world through the eyes of jealousy or envy or hatred or selfishness or racism, that only hurts others. Contrary to that, Jesus is saying, if you see with light, if you have a good eye, the way I want you to, the way God created you to, you will see the world and other people and yourself the way I want you to, and the way my Heavenly Father created you to see the world, other people, and yourself with joy, with hope, with all the wonderful things of the abundant life, as Jesus described it, that he wants you to have. But it all seems to depend on how you see the world, other people, and yourself. Here's a summary of it all. Jesus would say, if you have my light in you, you will see and encounter the future in ways that reflect the abundant and joyful life I want you to have and my Heavenly Father created you to have. And I want to say that again. Jesus is saying, if you have my light within you, you will see and encounter the future in ways that reflect the abundant and joyful life I want you to have and that my Heavenly Father created you to have. The light of Christ comes to us as we see clearly and as we remove the darkness and the shadows from our seeing. So we think about the future today, on the verge of a new year, on the verge of wondering what 21 will bring after some really tough things in last year's journey. We look to the future and we ask ourselves, how does God want us to see the future? And Scripture affirms many different attributes, and we lift up three. First of all, God wants you to see the future filled with possibilities. Filled with possibilities. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Right now, say to yourself, with God, all things are possible. And ask, do you truly and deeply, deeply believe that? If you do, then the future is truly filled with possibilities. And if you do, then there is no room in the Christian's mindset for negative thinking, for doubting, for anxiety and fear. Because if all things are possible with God, then these other things that are the dark things we see are wiped away because the light chases them away. Jesus' followers truly can never be negative thinkers. And that's tough. Because there's a lot in this world that says, come on, look at me, think this way, think negatively. And this past year, we have seen so much, not just COVID, but politics and natural disasters. And some people just look at all of that and doom and gloom seems to pervade their personality. But if all things are possible with God, and if the future is filled with possibilities, then there is far more goodness that's coming than there is trouble. And that's the possibility thinker's mindset. George was a student in Southern Cal many years ago during the Great Depression in this country. His family could barely afford to keep him in school, and the economy was completely destroyed. Jobs were gone. And as a student of math at Stanford, he learned that there was going to be a position open at the end of the semester as the assistant to the math professor. And the math professor had said, whoever gets the best grade in the class and on the final exam will get that position. And during the Depression, this was a great, great hope for every student. But George said, I can do that. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to be the best student and get the best grade in this math class. The semester unfolded, the final exam came. And the day of the final exam, when it came, George overslept and raced to the math class. The other students had begun taking the test. The professor allowed George to come in, but he was several minutes late. He was given the test and saw on the paper that there were 8 complicated math questions that he had to solve. And he went about doing it. And it wasn't that hard, even, for him at least. But then he looked up and saw on the board there were 2 additional questions, 2 math questions to be solved. But the time was about up. But George thought, if I can just get those 2, I know I will get the position next at the end of the semester. And so he went to the professor as he turned in the 8 questions and said, can I have an extension to work on these 2 extra questions? The professor gave him that until Friday, the end of the week. George went home and started working on those 2 questions that had been on the board. He had transcribed them and went home and worked and worked and worked and worked on these questions. And on Friday, just at the deadline, he came back and he turned in his answers to these 2 questions. He went home, and on Sunday morning, very shockingly, there was a on his door at his dorm room. He went to the door, and to his shock, he saw his math professor there. And the math professor was all excited and said, George, I've got to talk to you. Is it true you were the one that was late for the class on exam day? Yes, that's right. You told me I could do these extra ones. Oh, yes, that's right. And then the professor said, George, the 2 questions on the board, they were just to tease you along. The exam was just the 8 questions. And before you came in, I had told the rest of the class that these 2 questions were 2 impossible math equations that no one has ever solved. Even Einstein had not solved. But you solved them. You see, George had never heard the professor at the start of the class say, these are impossible math equations. Einstein couldn't answer them. He never knew it wasn't possible. And he took that attitude of possibility to a successful conclusion. Be very careful, friends, when you say anywhere, it's not possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And God wants us to look at the future filled with possibilities. He also wants us to look at the future filled with the assumption that goodness is coming, that there's goodness in the future. What do we say here? We say God is good all the time. And if we believe that, then how is it that we cannot affirm that the future is filled with goodness? Because if God is everywhere at all times and all places, we know he is, then how can we possibly doubt that the future is filled with goodness? And the Bible shouts it from beginning to end. Psalm 33, the earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when Jesus, by one of his disciples, was addressed, good teacher, he says, no, there is only one who is good. That's my heavenly Father. And when God created the heavens and the earth, he looked at what he created, each piece, and he said, that is good. And when he made humankind in its beginning, he said, that is very good. If God is that good, then the future is always filled with goodness. If we have the eyes to see it. And that is Jesus' point. If we have the eyes to see it. Once a 35-year-old man was having lunch with one of his father's best friends. They had met in a city and got together and had lunch. And the son said, you probably don't know this piece of my dad's history, mine and mine. And the son begins to tell this older man, friend of his father, that when the son, 15 or 17 years ago, was in the military, he did something that was so egregious that he was dishonorably discharged from the service. A great stain on his life, but also a great stain on his family's life and his family's reputation. And he knew that his father would be devastated and feared the worst, perhaps just disowning him as a wayward son. At lunch, the son was telling this friend that when he sent a telegram, in those days they did, when he sent a telegram to his father confessing what he had done and what the result was, he got a telegram back. And there were three sentences, the son said, that his father sent. The sentences were, I will stand by you no matter what happens. I will be there in the morning. Remember who you are. Friends, anytime you see an act of forgiveness, you are seeing the goodness of God. Anytime you see an act of mercy, you are seeing the goodness of God. Anytime you see someone giving food to somebody who's hungry, you are seeing the goodness of God. Anytime you see someone being kind to an outcast or a stranger, you are seeing the goodness of God if you have eyes to see, because it's always there. Yes, God wants you to see the future filled with goodness. And finally, God wants you to see the future filled with miracles. Miracles. Miracles in the scriptures are for a particular season as Jesus fulfilled them. But God has always worked through people to do amazing, unusual things that can be called miracles. And they still happen this day. Sometimes folks say to me, where are the miracles today? And I point them to the doctor who goes into surgery with a woman expecting her child in 2 months. But now that doctor can do heart surgery on that baby before it's ever born. You want to see a miracle? There it is. I see a miracle when a person walks into this sanctuary many years ago for the first time ever after a young adult and middle adult life of no interest, even scorn for God. And on that first day of walking into this very space, later he would say, something happened. And ever since, the Spirit of God has constrained him to a life of worship and service. That's a miracle. I see a miracle when a person fighting cancer at the end of their rope, having tried every possible way to handle, to struggle with, to fight against this disease, finally comes to the point of saying, I just give it up, Lord, I surrender. And instantly, they report later, they felt this weight lifted, that the Spirit of God came in them, and they knew that no longer would they fight cancer alone, that God was right there with them and has since ever been. That's a miracle. And I see a miracle when a couple on the verge of divorce, with brokenness everywhere, decide maybe God can help us. And in so turning, find a commonality and a hope that only God can give, that possibility of a miracle of reconciliation. And it happened and still does. Yes, that's a miracle. You see, God is a God of possibilities, a God of goodness, a God of miracles. So the old saying is false. The old saying says, seeing is believing. Not for us, friends, no. For Christians, believing is seeing. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for how it is always and everywhere you have worked your goodness and your miracles and your possibilities. And now, Lord, as we enter into a new year, infuse us by the power of your Holy Spirit with this attitude of hope that miracles will happen, that your goodness will be everywhere, and that all things are possible with you. Help us to live that way as individuals, as families, and yes, as your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.